It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm a little slow today. I just switched to Sanka, so have a heart.
Thank you, Mr. Vargas. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Good poll.
Listening to all the roundtable that we had during that commercial break.
Remember, no bad ideas.
Brilliant. We're just doing a little recon on where we're going to put Matt Goldstein.
Where we'll hide him.
Matt Goldstein tomorrow.
For where in
we're
the
trying
hell.
To figure out exactly where he's going to go. But tomorrow will be, where in the hell is Matt Goldstein? And we'll put him somewhere obscure.
I agree.
We didn't have obscure ideas during that roundtable, Rob, in my humble opinion.
Well, what we had was we had specifics going obscure.
Spitballing.
We need to stay obscure.
I think I'd like to get even more obscure than that. But without further ado, you guys ready to talk some sex?
I am.
Yes.
I have to get this lady on the line. And Jamie, are you there?
I am here.
Jamie Waxman is on the line with us right now. Jamie, before we get started here, I want to tell you a little story, okay?
You got it.
We haven't had a sexpert on this show, Rob, for how many years?
I think it's been 5 or 6 years.
I think it's 5 or 6 years around the time, and we used to have people talking sex on this show constantly. And frankly, when I started doing the show a couple of weeks ago and I got in here, I said, you know, I think we got to give it a try. Mm-hmm. With that said, Jamie, you have to understand, I'm sure you've done a few radio interviews, that the restrictions they put on certain shows – with this corporation in particular, CBS Radio.
The Columbia Broadcasting System.
We have a little difficulty when we're talking about it. We kind of have to talk around things in code, probably more than any other show you would go on. So, you know, with that said, let me tell you all about who we have here. Jamie Waxman, she's been dubbed the next generation of sex educator by Wired.com. She has her master's in sex ed. She is the sex advice columnist for Playgirl magazine. And you know how much we all like Playgirl, gentlemen.
Oh, I know.
I've been a subscriber
it's
for a long
time. Right?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I love it when they, you know, they started making the men happy before they took the pictures.
Make you
happy
reading
it for
too.
The columns.
As well of one of the hosts of Fresh Advice on CherryTV.com. Mm-hmm. You're all over the place, and you know sex, don't you, Jamie?
I do, and I also want to just let you guys know, no pressure here, rest assured, I was a radio producer for many years.
Thank God, then you will understand our plight.
So I do understand, and I worked at very conservative radio stations here in New York. So.
Good. Okay. Well, Jamie's book is getting a woman's guide to being master of her own domain. I think I've said it. You understand what I'm talking about.
I believe
about,
so.
Absolutely.
Perhaps best to search it by the name of the author.
I also don't think I've ever had a guest on the show where I had to give that kind of a lead in. Jamie, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you guys for having me. And I know where Mr. Goldstein is.
You do? We haven't even hidden him yet. We're so excited. You're all about sex, and I also know that you've got a bunch of tapes that you market, too, that are kind of for couples, right?
Yes, absolutely. And just ways to enhance relationships. Hmm.
Have you found being involved in both broadcasting and talking sex that things have been difficult over the last few years?
Well, it's really interesting because I do think that, you know, talking about sex hit a peak with HBO's Sex and the City. There's no doubt that this gave everyone something to talk about on Mondays around the water cooler. And I was working as a TV producer on a talk show where we just put on sex researchers, educators every night, 5 days a week. And we were the number one rated show here in New York. And after 1 year, we were canceled because while people really wanted to talk about these topics, advertisers were getting a little iffy. So it was always a really interesting balance between the fact that sex sells, obviously, but who's willing to promote that?
You know, I think that it was such a dramatic change for us, and it was more about the words that we could say. You could still do certain kind of content, but it was so clamped down, and we used to have, you know, not. I wouldn't say these were overwhelmingly titillating conversations that we would have on the show, but we would talk about grown-up subjects, and people were interested
right.
about it, and mm-hmm. then, you know, it really kind of went away, and it's been very, very frustrating. In your opinion, what's the biggest myth, do you think, about sex? With all the stuff you've heard about sex over the years, what would you say the biggest myth is about sex, Jamie?
Well, I'd say one of the biggest myths for sure is that it has to be one way all the time. And I'm not even talking about techniques or whatever, but that what you like today is what you are going to like for the rest of your life. Because, you know, there's so much about ourselves that we change over time, whether it be our job, you know, our hair, where we live, whatever it is. And sexuality is such an innate part of who we are. We are born with some sort of drive that to believe that once we've discovered one thing we like, that's the only thing we're going to like, and that if things start to change, something is wrong. I think that's a really big problem in relationships, is that as our tastes are refined or, you know, redefined even, that things have to stay the same in our own proclivities.
So in other words, being a little bit wild is a good way to go. I mean, being a little, and I should say wild is another word for experimental. Yeah.
Not being, another word used to describe that too is there's, you know, vanilla is a term that's often described as one particular way of doing everything, and
right.
it sort of gets bland over time for some people. And being open to even hearing what your brain is telling you, because the brain is that most powerful sexual organ you've got is your brain, and, you know, listening to what your brain is saying or what your partner is saying, what your partner's asking for, and if that's not exactly what it's been like for the last 10, 20 years, being okay with that and being willing to explore.
What if you have a partner, and I'm thinking off the top of my head, as far as you got a partner, it can be either a man or a woman, that doesn't have any desire to change the routine, to change anything up. And you make the step where you go to this person and you say, hey, listen, let's have a little fun. Let's try this. Let's try something different. Let's bring something else into the bedroom, you
or
know,
someone else.
The toy variety or something like that. And your partner says, oh, God, no, you're ridiculous. I don't want to do that. Is there any way to get through to people if they seem like they're set in their ways?
Well, I think there's a few ways. I think sometimes that verbal communication is the hardest part for two partners. And even if one person actually says to the other person, this is what I want, while it's being directed at them, it's really hard for the person to digest and respond. So first of all, you can, I like to suggest to couples to write an email list of things they want to try. And then if they're, you know, obviously try and set up an account that's not a work account. And then, unless your work doesn't care, and then, you know, send it to them and say, here's an order from 1 to 10 of things I'd like to try. Why don't you send it back to me in the order, you know, you'd like to try them, erasing anything that's completely off limits.
And if it's sent back and it's been set afire.
Blank.
Just blank.
If it's completely blank, I mean, you may definitely want to bring in, you know, even like a therapist or something into the relationship just to try and get boundaries broken. Because that, I would say, if you throw out 10 things and your partner like ixnays all of them for you, then, you know, maybe there are some other obstacles there. But also, if you were talking about something like you said, you know, maybe some form of toy or something.
Yes, toys.
What you can do is just sort of try and incorporate it while things are going on.
Toys.
So,
did I sound odd when I say yes,
little,
toys?
A little too enthusiastic.
Very excited
like
about toys.
You know, one of the things I was reading about Jamie is that she wants us all to feel better about sex, and I think that's worth You know, we've got one guy on the show that we think has more of an experimental mind than the rest of us, and he's my newsman right over to my right, Buzz Burbank. Say hi to Jamie, Buzz.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Buzz. I saw your picture. I've been listening to you guys for almost the whole last hour, so I know the show a little.
We're pretty damn good, aren't we, Jamie?
You guys are good.
Yes. We're going to play Where in the Hell is Matt Goldstein tomorrow.
I know. I want to guess. I know where he's not today, which is in the office.
That's right. He's a slacker.
We've already lost
him. Buzz, you know, one of the things we always joke about is when we're going out, you know, we have our relationships and we kind of keep it normal as far as, you know, you don't make a big deal about going out. Buzz, on the other hand, Mr., you know, he goes out and he can do anything, say anything, because his wife is super cool about it.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of healthy, don't you think, as far as if you're going out and you're gonna have a night on the town and you're going out with the boys and your wife says to you, you know, what the hell, you know, go enjoy yourself. That makes for kind of a healthier relationship than if it's like, you know, don't come in like at 2 o'clock like the last time.
Right.
No, I think it's way healthier. And I also think that the thing thing that happens here with marriage or this term monogamy, whatever words you, is that we feel this ownership with our partner a lot of the times, mm-hmm. as opposed to that we're in a partnership, and that means we're both going to grow together and separately, mm-hmm. and we forget the separately part, and we insist that once we've made this commitment to somebody that we have to do everything together, and well, not obviously Buzz doesn't, and a lot of other people don't either, but that, you know, that that's something that so many people have in their head, that when you're married, it's not two people anymore, it's one person, and that's so unhealthy for both people.
Agreed.
So
yeah.
Buzz is doing the right thing.
Do you advocate, like, if a couple is together for a long time, if they're married for a long time, and they want to get back into a better sexual relationship,
fire it up.
You just, like, say a guy, for example, I'll speak from the guy's standpoint, you want to charge things up, mm-hmm. you just come in and sweep her off her feet and decide that, you know, you start kissing her passionately and then you carry her up into the boudoir. If things have been stagnant for a while, here's the question.
What's the best way?
What is the best way to initiate again? If you're feeling a little apprehensive, what's the best way to initiate?
Well, I think that whole idea of sweeping someone off their feet is great for like 2 seconds. And after that, that whole magic will kind of, you know, go away again at some point.
And then I'm back in back surgery after that as well.
Exactly. You know, you have to worry about your back and right. herniated discs, whatever.
Sure.
And I think, honestly, in that situation, it's really about, first of all, enthusiasm. Wanting to spend this time with your partner is so huge. And also paying attention to detail, like even if it's just that you're changing things up by taking, you know, you're going out to eat and then you want to come home and have a really nice night. Mm-hmm. If you spend time actually talking and really getting to know your partner again and caring, because think about it, like when you're at home, how many relationships by the time you've been together 2, 3, 4, 5 years and then, you know, forget the rest, you've stopped really having conversations and it's just like, what do you want to watch on TV or whatever. So really connecting with the person again and taking, even if it means, you know, one night is a really nice deep conversation and the next day you go someplace where you don't have to think at all. Maybe you go, you know, if on low end you go bowling, otherwise you drive away for a night and go somewhere else.
Sounding to me like an awful lot of work, Jamie.
Relationships are work.
Okay, let me ask you about this.
Lot of work.
Jamie, the TV thing sounded good.
very common complaint now between couples and among couples is that they're so busy and they're so tired, they're just not getting around to it. What would you say to all those couples who are that busy and that tired?
I'm there with you, and I totally understand. And what you really, 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 like you would set aside a night to go out to dinner with mm-hmm. a girlfriend,
right.
You need to book that time in your schedule. It sounds so ridiculous to some people.
Make a date.
But you have to.
I agree with that.
Taking
the time
true.
To actually make a date, you know, say, hey, we're actually not going to do the routine. We're not going to, you know, I'm not going to come home from work. You're not going to come home from work. And we just collapse and we watch TV. We actually go out. Even if we're too tired, we make the time to go out.
It actually probably impacts me more than either of you because mm-hmm. with two kids and Carrie working,
yeah.
right.
it's almost impossible to coordinate an evening. And we have to every, 6 weeks. Dump them at my mom's and make a date, and it usually works out very well.
Well, you know what might also help? I see here that Jamie, I just wrote this down when I was, you know, doing a little research about you. Mm-hmm. You're a vibrator expert.
Oh yes, I am.
You know, the one thing I had to ask you about this: you worked at, and I drove by this place. You worked at. What is it? Wait, what's the name of the place? Hold on. The sex shop Babeland in New York City. Do you remember that place?
Yes, absolutely.
How many bottom feeders did you bump into when you were at that place? Oh, my God. I mean, I would imagine
you. It's not a bottom feeder shop.
What's that?
It's not a bottom feeder shop.
I mean, but you had to get. We're talking the middle of Manhattan. It had to be a little creepy.
Very infrequently.
Okay.
And the truth is, like, even those people who came in with that creepy vibe, you knew that was deep down inside, with a few exceptions. I mean, one of my favorite was, you know, the fetishist who would come in would ask you some really fun questions. But other, you know, the real creepy vibe, it wasn't the store to go to because...
Anybody ever come in and ask you, do I have to go to the emergency room?
No, but I have 2 siblings who are doctors, so I always ask them, and one's in psychiatry, who's come in this weekend, and what did you find?
Hey, Jamie, I want to show you this x-ray. Take a look at this bowling trophy.
Exactly.
But not. I'm surprised at that, actually, but you know... All about where are you on the whole? And of course, here I am getting. See, when I'm doing this interview, I've got what? Half of me thinking about what to ask her, and the other half, can I say these? But I
go forward,
say,
and we'll rein you in.
Toys. I want to talk about toys, mm-hmm. and you're big on bringing toys into the bedroom, but I know we've talked about toys on the show before, and usually a lot of people react quite negatively to that. What if, say,
like battery toys?
Yeah, battery toys.
Some guys are threatened, for example,
and some women are threatened too.
You know, I feel like I have to say that battery-operated toys really changed my life and taught me so much about
myself. Give that a round of applause.
thank you.
I like that.
but it's really true. And, I mean, you know, a toy can't communicate. It can't hug you. It can't hang out with you. It can't keep you warm at night. There's just no comparison in terms of what a replacement.
But it can be a threat.
No. So, you know, it really can't be. What it can do is help you find discover things about both you and your partner that you might not be able to discover without, you know, added help or added incentive or whatever word you want to use. But really, I feel like it's just such a great way to really, explore deeper almost. And, you know,
I see.
Yeah.
Wow. And from there, you don't
so to
have
speak.
To.
Well, you know, we couldn't have a sexpert on the show without getting a little ramped up.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
I'm all for it.
It wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be fun otherwise, you know? I like the laugh.
The bewitching laugh.
It is a bewitching laugh.
You
have a wonderful laugh. See, what? Rob, I see you bewitching and sexy.
Yeah, I agree.
It's wonderful. And you're all about showering together, too, right?
I'm all about doing a lot, you know, trying everything together at least once.
You know what Sarah Silverman said about showering as a couple?
What'd she say?
She said, "Don't worry, ladies, your breasts will be clean."
That's the way to do
very,
it.
Very, very true.
You know, I see that you also, you run, you've done everything in the area of you've been a retail sex toy consultant?
I work on a number of projects I consult with companies that are starting to build sites that involve shopping, and I work as a consultant for some cable channels too on some programs. So I'm kind of a little bit of everything.
You're a total mogul.
What TV shows do you consult? Anything we would have heard of?
Well, right now I'm working on the Katie Morgan show, which is on HBO.
She is adorable.
She is cute, yeah.
Katie Morgan.
Yeah, is it Porn 101 and
HBO.
Sex Toys 101?
No, I'm working on the Toys one that they're doing right now. Toys right now, and another one that's just kind of an all-over sexual tips one.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Rob.
If you ever see Katie Morgan, she has two specials that sort of flip-flop on HBO. Mm-hmm. She is funny and cute and just... the whole pack.
Oh, really smart girl.
Yeah. Have you run a sex boot camp yourself, Jamie?
I do workshops a lot. I've been in D.C. actually doing a couple of workshops.
Do you wear a uniform?
I should. It depends on the audience. It might turn some women off and some men on.
there are boots.
It all depends. Or vice versa.
Yeah, now, there's one. Beth Ann, come on in here for a second. I just want to get... Rob, can I say this? Because this is one of the things. This
are
is one of the things.
Can I ask a question?
You
know what?
Yeah, you go ahead,
right.
Buzz.
You mentioned a word earlier, Jamie, that I've been reading a lot lately about, and that's the word monogamy. About the state of monogamy. What's your estimation of the state of monogamy right now?
You know, I love the idea of monogamy, and I really applaud couples who sincerely are in that monogamous relationship and are both, you know, trust the other partner and are being exclusive. But I just think we are animals. That is the bottom line. And I think that it's a really hard thing to, you know, achieve for an entire lifetime. We're living longer. We, you know, are mobile longer. I just think that monogamy is a fantastic concept, but doesn't necessarily translate into a really easygoing plan.
Well, Jamie, we bring another person in here, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Do you think we could take some phone calls? Do you think our audience would be well enough behaved to ask Jamie some questions?
Can I go in
look
the
at
other
Rob's,
room?
Look at Rob's face.
What are you doing?
I might try it. I might not.
Give it a shot.
Say hi to our executive producer, Beth Ann McBride, who has got all sorts of sexual hang-ups.
Hi, Beth Ann.
She's with you right now.
How are you? I know, Jamie. I booked her.
Well, I know. I told you to book her.
But I did the leg
please,
work.
I know
please.
You did the leg work,
and
but
I watched.
Whose idea was it to have her on the show?
Oh, the sexual tension.
I ran the board.
You ran the board.
Over me.
Everybody's ready. Here's the deal. Beth Ann McBride, the last go-around when she was executive producer for the Don and Mike show, she was living her life in a period of
celibacy. I still do.
You still do?
Yeah.
When's the last time you...
How many years now?
It's almost 14.
Oh!
14 years.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Where's the round of applause? That's fantastic.
Jamie, fix her.
Golf applause.
There's nothing wrong with that, is there,
Jamie? I think that if this works for you, I don't know if celibacy means you aren't with yourself at all either, but whatever works for you works.
She definitely is with herself.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Since this interview started.
Health reasons to be with yourself.
Right. Sometimes during the show, it's very embarrassing.
I see how you guys. You have like the booth, and you're in the booth, and you can see her through the glass.
Mm-hmm. No, actually, she has to come into the studio. We have to summon her. You know,
we can see her through the glass as long as we keep putting quarters in.
I'll give you a plug, Jamie. Beth Ann might enjoy your personal touch video series.
Oh,
you know.
I think number three is my favorite. I'll tell you that. So
really?
If you're gonna go with one of them,
we
go
all
with
like number three.
What's number three about?
Different types of ways to finish for women.
Oh, so number three.
There you go, number three.
You would like that.
Skip one and two.
You choose to be celibate, but if the right, Beth Ann, your feeling is if the right person came along, you would be willing, right?
Yeah. Plus, I do say.
Maybe in another 14 years or so.
If we're alive.
Part of me wants to be married, Jamie. Is that wrong?
No, I think that we all have. I mean, look, I was actually thinking to myself, and this is, I'm not, I don't stereotype very often, but when I
do
heard
constantly.
McBride, well, you know, Irish, you're Irish, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, you probably have grown up with some very strict conservative values in a way, and it makes complete sense to me that, you know, coming from a family that my family is conservative Jew, and that's pretty much like being as being pretty liberal in terms of, you know, my values around sexuality. And I think a lot of it stems from how you grow up, and that makes total sense to me. Outside of Ireland, the United States is the second most sexually repressed country in terms of just even, you know, feeling good
Ireland,
about what
oh,
they do.
Oh, man, is Ireland the most repressed?
When I was doing my master's, that was the statistic, yes.
Ireland is?
All right, Beth Ann, we want you to sweep out the fireplace and then put on your pants.
Why do you think they turned to drinking?
Yeah, that's true.
I think whatever works for you, Beth Ann, and I think if you're waiting for marriage and that's, you know, how you feel and it's not because of negative experiences,
but
then
this
go
is when
for
you're
it.
Ask me how old I am. I've been waiting a long time.
All right, will you take some calls from our listening audience?
Sure.
I'm going to try one, and if this works, I'll take another. Otherwise, it's going to be a failed experiment.
Behave, everyone.
Say hi to James in Fairfax. James, you're on with Jamie Waxman.
Mike, love the show.
Thank you very much.
Jamie, I am curious.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Hang up and listen. All right. Because I just want to hang up on these people as soon. I'm so nervous.
I wanted to take the calls.
I'm just trying to help our listening audience.
Okay, let's try this one.
This is hard. Do you think we can even deal with this?
We've already reached our limit there.
Oh, really? Okay.
So how can we rephrase his question?
Alternate
methods?
How would one handle that taboo, Jamie?
Very good.
Well, I think that it's actually a very popular sport these days, and that there are just really a few things that you would want to keep in mind, which is that, like, you know, it's always,
darkest before the dawn.
You know,
the sun will come up tomorrow.
There are good germs and bad germs, and you just don't want to mix germs between any place on the body.
So protection.
And you just don't want to, you know, walk away with anyone that happened to walk into Babeland. I think based on that phone call, we're probably going to stay away from it. You know, you're a wonderful sexpert. Would you come on the show again?
I would love to. And if I'm in D.C., I'd love to come up and see you guys.
Love to have you.
And promote whatever. I mean, you got a million. I can't even begin to start with what you're doing. Is there anything specifically you'd like to promote on our show?
Sure, we can promote Personal Touch Now or just jamiewaxman.com is fine.
Yeah, you want to find out anything about Jamie, it's all on jamiewaxman.com. When you go there, remember, it's spelled Jamie Waxman.com. And you have one thing for Jamie, Beth?
Well, we have the link to her website on our website.
Perfect. At WJFK.
I did see that. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. Yep. You're okay. Very wonderful to talk to, and you have an engaging laugh, and you're very, very sexy. Are you? How's your sex life currently?
It's fantastic. Oh. Come on. It has to be.
Congratulations.
It's my job. It has to be.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show, and we will talk again real soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
you guys are great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank
That's
you.
Jamie
Bye.
Waxman. She
like her.
She's quite the sexpert.
She was good.
Yeah,
I learned a lot.
I really do. I'm all ramped up.
She has a great
now.
Voice.
She does.
Yeah. The laugh
just
was like
wish
Fran
I, she's still on
though.
The line, guys.
Oh, sorry.
I can't figure out how to.
Oh, God.
Don't talk about people. You need to go out and get some.
It's impolite.
We'll be right back with more of the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.